And on earth, peace to men of goodwill. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It used to be in the old days that at Christmas and Easter, the churches were packed with those who would come pretty much just on those two occasions of the year. And that's still the truth, I'm sure, in some sense. It's never been too much our experience, although we are very happy to welcome family members and friends and visitors. And those who only come to church now and again, we're very happy to welcome you to our beautiful Easter Mass. But if that is your case, if you are someone who stirs himself, generally just twice in the year, at Christmas and again at Easter, to come to Holy Mass, let me tell you about other visitors who never miss a Christmas and they never miss an Easter and with whom you have something in common. Angels. Angels come. Remember the glad tidings of great joy? There is born to you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Angels come as well for Easter. He is risen, as he said, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Angels, yes, but something in common with angels? Your Excellency, I'm no angel. My friend, I already knew that, but you have something in common with angels. What might that be? The theme is that of fear. Yes, fear, which we define as a certain sadness over a perceived future evil. Indeed, it was for fear. The evangelist says, pray tristitia, that Peter, between those two times, he said no to the Son of God, slept in the garden with the other disciples. Their eyes were heavy for sadness. Angels come, and when they come, their first job always is, before they can do their angel work, the name means messenger, before they can deliver God's word to men, they must first calm them down and say, be not affrighted, fear not. Who wouldn't be frightened to see those celestial beings of such beauty, bright like lightning, shining like snow, standing before you? Nolite expaveshere. Be not frightened. Because the message they bring us truly is joy, glad tidings. And on earth, peace to men of goodwill. That declaration of angels at Christmas night so captures our hearts that we sing it on every feast of the year in the Gloria, as the choir just sang it so beautifully, for God's glory at the solemn High Mass. What could cause for you, all of you, a certain curtain of fear to fall down and to envelop your hearts like a heavy Lenten veil? Or that sadness which might make it so that you sleep through the Sunday, but your sloth is more sadness than anything else. On the face of it, I am going to say today that it is caused by controversies which rend in two the garment of our Holy Mother, the Church. if you read the paper, if you turn on the television set, if you dial up your internet, nothing but controversies, and with them, condemnations, and of the confusion, I almost want to say in the words of our Lord for the end, the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves that rise up about you, and your little boat is sore disturbed. It comes across then that this religion, the Catholic religion, which alone of all goes back to our Lord and Saint Peter, should seem to some as a heavy and a harsh affair, and enough to drive us away for fear, poor sheep, just for fear. The priest who stands before you in some symbolic garment all bright and white, by the very power of his message, God's word, might strike sometimes fear into your heart. He doesn't mean to. We don't want to scare away a single one of our Lord's lambs. But I think that does happen sometimes. It is easily understood. Fear. Or there is the fear which could come upon you if you are, or are still, what they might call an old-style Catholic. You have the old beliefs. You've never changed them. And all of this Lent, these 40 days, we've been living in purgatory. We've seen the terrible torments, the awful tortures of the flame and of the cold and of thirst and of hunger and of longing loss for our Lord's adorable face and presence. And it might be enough to make us think, well, this is Catholicism. I might be of the very small number who are saved, but that only after years of sacrifice and how many decades of torture in the flames of purgatory. This is false. It is an erroneous idea, which comes, as all error does eventually, from the father of lies. It is quite contrary to Christian confidence. Confidence, my child, I am. Our blessed Savior was born and died and rose again to bring peace to men of goodwill and to impose upon us as the condition of our salvation, to place on our shoulders no heavy burden, but a yoke which is sweet and light. If your will is good, you will find peace. And all of the difficulties that seem to throw themselves up at you and bar the doors and keep you away from our Lord or his Mass or your peace vanish, as did the darkness this Easter morn. Behold, the sun rose again. Be of good will. Submit your will to the holy law of God and serve him with all your heart as best you can. And he will assist you in this life, and he will open the doors for you for eternal life. It is easy to get to heaven. It is not an impossible difficulty for the select few. Were that true, he would have died in vain. he would have risen for no one. It is not true. I repeat it to bring about in us this wonder of mercy. All our Lord asks for from us is our good will. But you might say, Bishop, I have some idea of what God requires. I did learn my Ten Commandments when I was a child. I know the doctrines of the faith and the demands of the Catholic life, and it is a daunting affair. I'm afraid that I may fall again. The burden of it all seems so heavy to bear. If that is true for you, you need only give our Lord your good will today and resolve that each Sunday from now on, each weekday, by God's grace, all you will do is to rise again, to make it to be an Easter Sunday, a resurrection day, that you will leave the death, the sloth, sleep-induced sadness behind you in the grave, the tomb of the confessional. That is all. Goodwill is this, to conform your will to that of God, who is the rule of all goodwill. And for this, the good God gives us Our Lady. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Our Lord, Father, he prays in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. And for this, the good Lord gives us Peter, with all of his falls, and the apostles, and all of the saints who have ever sinned, beginning with Mary Magdalene, down to the saints of our day and hour. This is all our Lord demands of us. Stay with the poor souls in your prayers always. Pray for them to be freed from purgatory, and they will free you from fright. If only you will stay and not go away. If only you stay to pray, you will feel their help. Just sit a bit and be quiet. Turn that off. Look away. Don't listen, and certainly make no response to this cacophony of confusion and of controversy and of condemnations. Just pray, and you will be freed from all of the heaviness and all of the harshness which masquerades as religion in our midst. Pray. Pray for the poor souls to be led at the last to their peace. Rest in peace, we say, don't we? We could certainly spare one rest in peace each day, couldn't we? Dear Easter soul, remember your dear ones and all of those in purgatory, that they may rest in peace. This is the promise of him who appears himself. He sends angels to strike fear and then great joy for women at dawn on Easter. But by evening, he comes himself. Where does he go? He goes to see the apostles. The apostles who weren't even there. Peter, who denied, and the rest who conspired to bolt the door for fear of the Jews. He comes to them, not blinding white, not forcing them to their knees, but he comes to them. He smiles, first with his eyes, and then with his whole appearance. And he says to them, "Peace be to you, and peace on earth to men of goodwill." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.